Hey, this is Joe Abraham in the studio. We're having breakthrough conversations today. We're continuing with LaVon Kerner on this topic of joy killers and joy makers. We're about to dive, LaVon, into several sessions here as we go into much more of these specific joy killers and specific joy makers. But you wanted to start us off with a very foundational thought, right? Where do all these joy killers come from? What's the source of these joy killers? There's an obvious answer, but it's one that we tend to ignore a lot. I mean, I find myself, and I think I've even spoken to you about this in the past, saying people don't think about Satan enough. They ignore him so much that it's so easy for him to sneak up on us. It's almost like we're trying to avoid something that we know is really, really big because we just don't know how to process it. And that can be a very dangerous thing. So help us unpack that. Why is it so important for us to even start this conversation on this topic of Satan?
Well, you're hitting me in a place where I had great stress over even writing about Satan. You hate to start out a leadership course talking about awful things, but you got to start where reality starts, and reality started in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden is, in by chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have Satan already there and telling his first set of lies. And so we have to talk about this, and there are some other reasons I'll get to momentarily.
Dive us in, take us right into it, and let's unpack what joy killer number one is.
Okay, I think we want to start with the fact that we and our leadership is being stalked by a murderer. We need to hear that. We need to say that. Every day I need to understand that surrounding me are Satan and all of his minions. They know exactly when I flinch. They know exactly when I succumb to temptation. They know exactly every sensitive area in my life. Not to understand that is not to understand what the Bible's saying, that we are in a war, a spiritual war, with rulers of darkness in the other world. And so we are being stalked by a murderer. And I'd like to read what the Bible says. It says, you, and I'm reading from John 8, 44, you are of your father the devil, and you will do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of liars. So I couldn't say loud enough, couldn't say strong enough that we are being stalked by a murderer. And we have to understand the nature of Satan. For us to begin any subject on leadership, we have to understand the nature of Satan. To be blind to it is to be blind to our number one adversary, the first joy killer that we're going to confront.
So, LaVon, the picture that comes into my mind is every once in a while I'll be flipping through a television series and I'll find a nature channel, and you kind of see the hunter and the hunted, and you can kind of see, if you just watch from afar and look at it from the perspective of the hunter, how clueless the hunted are. They're just so oblivious, so into their la-la land, so distracted by whatever it is they're doing. And the hunter almost looks at that with great joy to go, perfect. Here's someone who isn't even aware of my presence. Here's someone who isn't even concerned about the things I can do to them. And that's the one I'm going to jump all over. Versus every once in a while, you'll see that very alert gazelle, that very alert deer, and it's sniffing and looking around. And while the others are kind of lollygagging, there's always that one that's alert. And isn't that a good picture of leadership that you're about to paint for us? And that's the picture that's in my mind as you're unpacking this for us. Keep going. Talk a little bit more. Take us into a little bit more scripture on validating this thought of this whole Satan thing is a really big deal, especially when it comes to being an influencer and a leader.
Yeah, and the Bible says that we have this stronghold in our mind that is packed full of Satan's lies. And we must remember that in the Garden of Eden, where it all started, that Satan's first words, were to Eve, hey, as God said, you can eat of everything. And And she said, "No, no, no, we can't. We see that tree over there. We are not allowed to eat of that because he said, you shall surely die." And Satan jumped in and said, "Thou shall not surely die." There is the first recorded lie in all the Bible. And to know that Satan's war on our success as an influential leader is based upon a whole pack of lies, many of which we're going to get into during our time together. When he said to Eve, "You shall not surely die," directly contradicting what God is all about. And to understand that, that is the nature of Satan.
Now, Levon, one of the things you talk a lot about is this notion that beyond just wanting you to die, right, on his path to getting you to destruction, there's a lot of steps along the way, right? He wants to kill your hope. He wants to kill your enthusiasm. Talk more about that.
Yeah, this stronghold in our mind is that he wants us to feel that we are immune to all the bad things that can happen and that we don't take them seriously. Anytime, this is so bad. The reason that people don't want to talk about heaven or talk about hell, but are willing to talk about heaven, is because of this whole sense of lying that Satan wants us to know that there is a heaven, but there is also a hell, a horrible, forever destructive hell, and that Satan wants to destroy us and bring death. In fact, the Bible says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned, that the final of Satan's work is that we are going to die. And one of the worst things that we do is we belittle death. We say, well, death is just a natural end of life. No, 1,000 times no. God didn't want any death anywhere. And not only is the death aimed at us, it's aimed at everything that we are doing, whether it be leading, whether it be a manager in business or a father or mother with children. Everything that we do is in the target zone of Satan wanting to destroy even the planet Earth. In fact, Paul says that the earth groans underneath its waiting for its day of redemption. The locusts that are in East Africa right now, that's a part of a damned earth, a cursed earth caused by Satan. The fires in Southeast Australia are a part of the damned, cursed earth by Satan. And the coronavirus is a result of the cursed earth by Satan because of what he has done in the Garden of Eden. So that curse is going to follow us until the Bible fulfills what it says. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, and we will be out of the Hurricane Katrina's, and we'll be out of COVID-19. We'll be out of all of the things that are so gosh awful that are the result of what Satan is doing in his destruction.
So then, Levon, walk this back then to the stronghold. What's the stronghold in a person's mind as it relates to this topic? Or another way to say it is, what's the joy killer that we're trying to identify here today?
The one that I want you to think about right now is, what is Satan lying to you about yourself? Anytime you wake up and you don't feel worthy, that's a lie. You don't feel ready, that's a lie. You don't feel capable, that's a lie. You feel all alone, that's a lie. You feel your self-worth is at a low ebb, not good enough to allow you to lead, that's all a lie. Each of these have to be, according to Paul, have to be brought under submission to the Word of God. Every one of them have to be cast out.
So as I'm thinking about this, I have to think about it from the perspective of Satan is a murderer. He's hunting and prowling, looking for the next person to devour. And if I'm unaware of his tactics, if I'm unaware of his methodology, I can very easily fall into the trap. And before you know it, my mind is full of all the thoughts you just identified. And because I haven't taken those thoughts captive, I haven't done the things I need to do, like Paul just instructed. So where do I go? Let's say I'm listening to you and I go, yeah, I've got a lot of those thoughts. Wake up in the morning stuff, middle of the day stuff, as a student, as a parent, as a business person, as a child, as a father, as a mother. There's all these thoughts that just flow into our mind constantly. Obviously, to your point, if they aren't the right ones, if they're joy killers, they're being planted by Satan, right? The adversary, he's planting his seed. How do I reverse that? What assurance is there that that's not the intent for me? God had a better plan than all those thoughts overwhelming my day.
We have to replace the murderous goal of Satan to destroy us, to destroy our life. And we have to replace that with our concept of life. And I want to talk about that. That is such a glorious thing. But you said something that I didn't want us to miss. And you said, when we don't think about Satan, well, that's the first lie. He doesn't exist. I'm not a reality. I'm not worthy of your focus. So any day that we're not thinking about the reality that Satan is after us, that we are being targeted, we're being stalked by him, we've already agreed to the first lie, that he just not important enough to think about. Well, let's get on to the wonderful notion of life. Life, life, life. Remember, death is not natural. Death is the reverse of what God has done. He is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so it's all about life. And then we get into the wonderful world of life. We get into how we were designed. And in Psalms 139, this whole beginning of our personal life is put into the record. And do understand that we were thought of by God before the creation of heaven and earth, that he had us in mind. If you please, he put together our genetic blueprint, our DNA, and put it together in a package, our design of who we are individually, and he put us on the shelf. And then he says, when do I need a Joe Abraham in existence? And so here we are in the year 2020, he designed that Joe should be in existence. And to get you ready for your mission, Joe, he said, now, what parents should I give him to? And so he had designed all of that. And so the fact that you were here in this time, in this place, with this ministry, was all thought of before the beginning of heavens and earth. That's unbelievable. I want to read a passage. It's in Psalms 139 that's going to blow your mind. It's kind of short, but listen carefully to it. For you were formed, this is David talking back to God about how he came into being. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it quite well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven into the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. Joe, that was all about you. And that was about you a long time ago.
And that was also for every person listening, right? Everyone needs to internalize that and say, okay, if that was the original plan, then how does that govern my thoughts of a given day?
Yep. And get this, that when he did that, God was personally involved. Notice that our design, he didn't assign that to the angel. He didn't say, I got a lot of people to put together, a lot of unique people, a lot of millions of different fingerprints, different DNAs, different attributes, different competencies, different talents. And I need to spread out this work and give them to all my angels. And no, he was intimately involved in the design of each and every one of us. And the reason that's so important is that there is this phenomena that, if I can call it, it's binary interlocking linkages. In other words, there are the extremes, the binary extremes. So the more you talk about the love of God, the more you understand the hatred of Satan. Get this, you are so very important to Satan's murder scheme because you are so very important to God's love scheme. And that's this binary interlocking linkage. You can't affect one. The reason that you can talk more wonderfully about heaven, then that makes hell more deplorable. The more you talk about the wonderfulness of life and the foreverness of life, the more binary interlocking linkages you are talking about the horribleness of death. God's love scheme is better. The reason that Satan, by the way, you and I are really unimportant to Satan. I mean, really, we're just bumps in the road to Satan. We're really nobody compared to other people and compared to other things. We're just nothing. But what makes us important to Satan is that the way that Satan can hurt God is by hurting me, by hurting you. The way that Satan gets at God, well, you've been a parent, and you know, boy, anything that can turn your heart on end, on fire, is if somebody does something to hurt your son or hurt your daughter. And God's unbelievable love for me is the explanation of Satan's hatred for me. That's how it works. And that's the reason that famous passage in 1 Peter 5:8 that all of us probably have memorized at some point in our life: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Be firm in your faith, says Peter. And we are targets every day, every second of every day by Satan.
So then, Levon, take us through, as you've promised, each segment is going to end with some of the poetry you've been working on as you work through your learnings here. Take us through this one. What do you call this one?
I want this session to be just, I want you to only know three things: the nature of Satan, the nature of death, and the nature of life. If you get those three things, you will have gotten what we want to accomplish on this first joy killer session. I entitled the poem based on the old Wild West, the wanted for dead or alive posters that used to all be around. Well, I wrote this poem and it says, "I'm wanted dead." I don't like this subject, so I avoid thinking or talking about it. It depresses me, so I just bury it into my subconscious, I admit. I know that Satan, with his army of minions, wants me dead, takes my breath away, leaves me both numb and helplessly sad. On my own, and knowing all my own weaknesses, I feel both defenseless and helpless, fighting against my evil heart, our evil world, the evil one, leaves me feeling a bit hopeless. Without the good news of the gospel informing me about the Jesus who wants to rescue me, I hesitate to even think about the mess and trouble in which I would be, destined to be Satan's victim with a sad, meaningless, and scarred life, besieged by my relationship conflicts, causing torment and unending strife. Hearing about Jesus, who uses love to fix a person's broken heart, showing us new ways of living with his Spirit to empower me with a new start, admitting all my failures, Seeing the ugly world of hurt in which I live, I was hopelessly trapped, unable to get free, no matter how much effort I could give. Then Jesus shows me a love that I could never knew even existed. He encircled me with a tough love that made me feel protected. It changed everything in life, took on a new joy and a radiant meaning. His forgiveness removed all the gunk and grime with a complete soul cleaning. Not only this, but now I am wanted alive, and I'm a witness that life journey one can survive.
This is Joe Abraham in the studio wishing you an incredible month, and we'll hear you on next time.